Good morning, everybody. One of my main goals in life is to eventually have relationships to disclose, but I do not have any currently, so someday. Before I start, would love for you guys to join this conversation on Twitter. We are at Cradle Cincy. At least in Cincinnati, the average age of a mom who lost a baby last year was 28 years old. If you know any 28-year-olds, where they are is on their phones. So if you aren't yet engaging in this kind of conversation, highly encourage you to. I also share this at the beginning of every presentation, so if I look out and see people on their phones, I'm not dismayed that they are bored. I am encouraged that they are communicating with me, surely, right? So, reducing sleep-related infant deaths through collective impact is my topic today. I want to start just by talking about what Cradle Cincinnati is. So we are not a program. We are a collective of organizations. So we have every maternity hospital in Cincinnati at our table. We have the children's hospital in Cincinnati at our table. We have community activists. We have nonprofit social service leaders who work in the space of pregnancy and early childhood. We have the city. We have the county. We have health departments. We have non-traditional people like faith leaders and a high school principal at our table. The idea here being that if we want to reduce something like infant mortality, there is no program out there that can do that. So I come to these kinds of sessions hoping to learn about silver bullets, and they just don't exist. We don't believe there are silver bullets. We do believe there are silver buckshot. And so lots and lots of folks going after this together, we think can make a difference, and that's going to be kind of the premise of my conversation today. So let me talk about the model of collective impact. This is one of those buzzwords that you hear an annoying amount of times. And I feel like at least when I first started hearing it, I just thought, oh, this is just collaboration. So the five kind of tenets you often hear about this are communities having a common agenda, a shared system of data, mutually reinforcing activities, continuous communication, and a backbone organization. We're really going to hone in on the common agenda piece of that today. But I first want to talk about how this is different from just collaboration. So collaboration looks like fighting for a shared program. We've all done this, right? Let's get together and fight for continued funding, fight for another grant. Working to prove what we do works. This is the bane of the social service space. You've probably been to lots of presentations over the past few days where folks are really trying to sell you that they have it, they have solved it. And it turns out they've solved it for 40 women, or in some cases they've solved it for 4 women. You get very excited and then you get let down. So we are not about trying to prove what we do works. We're more about honesty. Advocate for ideas that come from a shared worldview. Oftentimes with traditional collaboration, in Cincinnati at least, you'll have all the folks who are adamantly pro-choice around one table, all the folks who are adamantly pro-life around a different table. We, annoyingly, as the executive director, are all about bringing together people who do not get along with each other and who do not share a worldview. We think there's huge value in that. So, collective impact, you're not fighting for a shared program, you're fighting for a shared outcome. Did the infant mortality rate go down last year? Yay, we all won. Did it go up last year? We all lost. I don't care what your program's infant mortality rate is. I don't. If your program's infant mortality rate is 2, congratulations. Serve more women. It will go up, I promise. Working to measurably improve our work. So not prove what we're doing works, but improve together. The premise being that in Cincinnati, we have a horrible infant mortality rate. That means that every single program has room for improvement. And advocating for what data tells us what matters and what works. So I really want to hone in on this common agenda piece because I think it's the starting point and it's the most important aspect of what collective impact is. What it is it's a map for your community to follow. So I want to talk about maps for a second. Let's say we were trying to get to the Grand Canyon. What public health is often guilty of when we say, hey, how do we get to the Grand Canyon, is showing you this map and saying, hey, this is about where you're at and you want to get to the Grand Canyon. Or sometimes this is a super cluster. Our Milky Way galaxy is actually on that red dot. This is where we are in the universe. And I go to a lot of conversations where folks want to talk about how do we solve poverty. And I think it's very important that unless your program has lots and lots and lots of budget ceilings that my program doesn't have, We have to start at a layer down from solving poverty for our community. There are 800,000 people in Hamilton County, Ohio. Close to 400,000 of them live in poverty. I do not have the capacity to fix that. I have to understand it. I have to remember that I live in this universe. It's incredibly important. The other thing we can do sometimes is we get down to, how do I get to the Grand Canyon? Let me look at a map of the Grand Canyon. I talk with folks all the time who want to, you know, let's spend 45 minutes talking about tummy time and how babies really need to spend some time on their stomachs. Great, fantastic. Maybe let's raise the ceiling a little bit on this one. So we need to find this map that kind of can get us there. You know, so Chicago's up there in the upper right-hand corner. The Grand Canyon's probably one of those green blobs in the lower left-hand corner. This starts to get us somewhere. This is a conversation platform that we can have. And this is the kind of common agenda that we want to develop as a community. So it means going from this. Here are 51 drivers of infant mortality. That a lot of people, you know, here it is. Here's our common agenda. It means going from that to something much, much simpler. Our common agenda in Cincinnati is three things: spacing, smoking, and sleep. We are obsessively focused on those three things. That means we can devote money to them. That means we can devote time to them. That means we can devote attention span to them. So if I show that list on the left to a CEO of a hospital or to the mayor of Cincinnati, not only will they not remember it, they won't even digest it. They're not even going to look at it or read it. I have had the mayor of Cincinnati, I have had CEOs of hospitals come up to me and say, spacing, smoking, and sleep, right? And if that's all those folks know, fantastic, because the folks working for them can help us push that common agenda forward. It means going from this kind of conversation, which I know we've had in Cincinnati a whole lot, and you know, there's questions about this, where is the finish line, who's even headed in the right direction? It means going from that to, hey, let's all row together around these three things. Does that mean ignoring the rest of it? No, absolutely not. It means that when we're working in united partnership across disparate organizations, we are highly focused. So, sleep is the piece of our agenda I want to talk about today. One thing we learned early on was that even three things is an awfully big agenda to start with. And so we wanted to start with one, what we saw as the lowest hanging fruit. Turns out it's very high, low-hanging fruit, but that's safe sleep in our community. So 522 babies died over the past 5 years in Hamilton County. That puts us among the worst 10% communities in the nation for infant mortality. 74 of those babies died from sleep-related causes. Not the largest cause of infant death, the most preventable, though, and the one we understand the best. Preterm birth is the one that's the largest. This one, however, we think is the most movable in the short term. So our babies died from sleep-related deaths at nearly twice the national average. And then the other important thing that the data told us is that actually the largest contributing factor is sharing a bed with a baby. That happened four times the national rate in Cincinnati, those kinds of deaths. So when I talk about sleep-related deaths, I'll often say that hey, the starting point for this and what we see most often in Hamilton County is an adult sharing a bed, sharing a couch with an infant, rolling over on them, suffocating them in some way. We see this again and again in our community. The good news is, due to the collective work of hundreds of people, and again, this is not a program. I don't have a silver bullet for you. What I have is lots and lots of partners. Sleep-related deaths fell dramatically in Cincinnati in 2014. So here's what that looks like. We can measure this data back to 2007. That's when we have good data, too. From 2007 all the way through 2013, we saw a very tight range of sleep-related deaths, from 14 deaths a year to 18. Averaging out to 16 deaths every year. It was very consistent. 15 deaths, 17 deaths, 16 deaths, 18 deaths, 14 deaths, 16 deaths, 16 deaths. Something about the system of Hamilton County was producing this result again and again and again. What we did last year is we got literally hundreds of partners together around 28 separate but aligned initiatives that were defining things in the same way and measuring things in the same way. And those 28 initiatives collectively reduced our infant deaths to 7 last year. And this was incredibly encouraging to us and really gives us hope for the rest of our common agenda as well. So here's how we got there. 28 separate but aligned initiatives, hundreds of partners. There was no silver bullet, only silver buckshot. Let me talk about some of that buckshot, though. We had community services. So we identified that there was no easily accessible free cribs program in Cincinnati. So what we did is we connected with our local United Way hotline, 211, It's now as simple as if you need a crib, call 211. We will get you one for free. That's way better than if you need a crib, you should either call 352-9643 or 513-352-6464. Or, you know, and this is what we do with social services. We hand someone a guide that's got 45 numbers on it and we say, here, no, call 211. We'll get you a crib. We passed out this great book that's actually developed in Cincinnati. Some of you may have seen it in your community. It's a board book that's designed for parents to read to their infants. So that covers two things at once, right? And while we're at it, the message in the book is one of safe sleep. Hospitals came together to improve the way they model this. So we were saying you should sleep alone on your back and in a crib. And then you'd go into the hospital waiting room, there'd be a kid asleep on his stomach, there'd be a kid with a huge blanket in there. So we went around and we partnered all the maternity hospitals together and we got them competing with each other. We got them auditing what's happening in their space, and that's completely transformed over the past couple years. Prenatal care providers. We have a collaborative of every provider of prenatal Medicaid care in Hamilton County. 28 different providers. They've come together. They're talking about this in standardized ways. We have residents in Price Hill, a low-income neighborhood in Cincinnati. They're going door-to-door and sharing this information with their neighbors. Home visiting organizations are making this a priority. And we have the Cincinnati Police Department and soon the Cincinnati Fire Department sharing this message as well. Policy and advocacy. We had some state leadership change some laws around safe sleep, making it mandatory that free cribs are available for families and education is provided for families at the hospital level. We were part of federal legislation that got moved forward. We had workshops with health professionals. We brought in national experts to speak about this. And we worked in collaboratives. Education and resources. We had community partnerships in Mount Auburn and Walnut Hills pushing this through things like barbershops and beauty salons. We sent home 163,000 safe sleep flyers with everyone's water bill last year. We're doing it again this year. This cost us $0. We went to the city council and we said, hey, we'd love to do this. Can we stick these in with the water bill? You're already paying for the mailing. They said, absolutely, we'd love to have you do it. We had safe sleep ambassador training in neighborhoods. We sent 20,000 flyers home from birthing hospitals. We had safe sleep materials shared with local runners at the local marathon. Basically anywhere that would have us, we included this information. And, of course, traditional media. So we had a great radio spot that's up right now. That is the pastor of the largest African-American church in Cincinnati, along with his wife. They are spokespeople, and they talk about what safe sleep looks like. That plays on three local, predominantly African-American audience radio stations. We had large safe sleep decals on the floors, the aisles, of baby food and diaper aisles at our local grocery store chain, Kroger. So that where are families at? Families are buying diapers. So while they're there, we want them to get this message of safe sleep. We had messaging on buses. We had print ads in the newspaper. We had a billboard campaign. We had a great Safe Sleep video that features local families who've lost babies over the past few years talking about how personal this is. I always say all you need to do is talk with one family who's been through this, and you'll be completely sold on it. This is an opportunity for that to happen that's now playing at every prenatal care center, at every hospital. It's had some ungodly number of downloads on YouTube. So lots of ways of getting the message out there. This is some of our messaging. So this is in the hospital, birthing hospitals. We have these large decals and are on the floor and on the walls. We actually had one hospital completely coat their elevator with a safe sleep message so that you can't help but see it. We had billboards up around town. This is our latest version of it. This is up in grocery stores right now as we speak. Again, for a free crib, call 211 is kind of part of our core message there. There was no silver bullet. I finish this presentation a lot and people say, okay, great, so which one was the most important? And here's the key with collective impact. We don't know. We, of course, are trying to measure. We are trying to figure out the effectiveness of certain kinds of campaigns. But I will continue, as long as I can breathe, to try to get this out in as many ways as possible. Because my theory is that, and the theory of collective impact, is that the billboard may have worked for someone. The elevator at the hospital may have worked for someone else. The Kroger decal may have worked for someone. The video may have worked for someone. There's not just one kind of folk out there, and we need to talk to all of them in different languages that they can understand. So what if we could repeat this around smoking, around spacing, around other drivers of infant death? This is the premise of our work. We just launched our smoking campaign this past summer. We're getting ready to launch spacing in just a couple months. We really think that none of this would have had an impact at all if what we had done was 28 initiatives on 28 different things. And if we had said, hey, you partners, you go off and you do breastfeeding, you partners, you go off and you do obesity, you go off and do nutrition. But instead we said, hey, if we all do the same thing, if we all communicate in the same way, have the same message, we can make a big impact. We see that happening in Cincinnati. We're going to continue that. This is hard work. There is little harder than saying no to people constantly. And people come to me and they're like, spacing, smoking, and sleep, that's not the whole story. We need to think about other things. And absolutely we do. We'll get to them, I promise. It's going to take time. We need to focus. We are pretty obsessed with that at Cradle Cincinnati. These are my funding partners. They're my favorite people in the universe. These folks also happen to really like focus and really like the fact that you are honed in on specific things. Makes work more measurable, makes work more compelling for a community. Infant mortality can get so complex that oftentimes when you try to explain to folks like funders, they just start to get sad, and they're, okay, well, we can never fix that. Let's focus on something else. So there is real power in trying to simplify and focus this. And with that, I'm going to ask Jessica, who is actually the magician behind all of this. So don't talk to me afterwards. Talk to Jessica. She's the one who does the work. She's got a Safe Sleep report that we just put out that has a lot of our initiatives detailed in it, a lot of the stuff I just went through. So she's going to pass those out. There are many, many, many more copies available at cradlecincinnati.org. You can download them, you can share them, you can print them, you can email them, whatever you like. So thank you guys so much for your time.